Let's turn to Jeremiah in chapter 15 today. Jeremiah 15. And we come to chapter 16. So we're at verse 1, chapter 16 in the book of Jeremiah. Now it says here that the word of the Lord came also unto me, saying, you shall not take to you a wife. Jeremiah, I don't want you to get married. Neither shall you have sons or daughters in this place. Now, Jeremiah was a young man when God called him. He was, some believe, around 17 years old when God made him a prophet to the nations. And so that's just guessing, but there's many guesses that come forth about Jeremiah's age, but he was very young. And so it's before times when men go out to seek a wife. And so now the Lord is telling him not to seek a wife, not to get married, not to have sons and daughters. And the reason that God has to give is kind of troubling. But let's go ahead and read it. It says, for thus says the Lord concerning the sons and concerning the daughters that are born in this place, and concerning their mothers that bear them, and concerning their fathers that begat them in this land. They shall die of grievous deaths. They shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried, but they shall be as dung upon the face of the earth, and they shall be consumed by the sword and by famine, and their carcasses shall be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth. Really drastic things going to happen to the sons and the daughters and the moms. And so Jeremiah, don't get married and don't have kids in this land, because these are the things that are coming. And Jeremiah obeyed that, of course. Now, as we read these things, we think, wow, Lord, that's really heavy duty things you're saying here. And we are tempted sometimes to think, you know, the New Testament would never bring forth anything like this. But actually, from the words of Jesus himself, we find similar things in the New Testament. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 24 in the New Testament. Chapter 24 of Matthew. And we'll be reading, actually, Matthew 24, starting at verse 19. I'll give you a little background. Now, this is when Jesus is talking about the Antichrist that has come upon the earth during the tribulation period. And he will declare himself God in the temple of God. And so Jesus says, when you see that happen, they're to run and get out of town and go into the mountains of Judea and actually end up in the rock city of Petra. And in that discourse, he says in verse 19, and woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, or another translation, those that have babies. So Jesus is warning them about having young children or even being pregnant. He says, woe, woe unto them. For then shall be great tribulation, verse 21, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And so the worst is yet to come. It's like McGee used to say on the radio. I love Dr. McGee on the radio. But he said, you know, these are the beginning of sorrows. You ain't seen nothing yet. And so when we read in the book of Jeremiah these things that are kind of shocking to us, we know it's going to be worse than that when the great tribulation period comes. I'm so glad the church is going to be taken out before that, because God has not appointed us to his wrath, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. But here we see Jesus is concerned about the children, And he was concerned about Jeremiah having children because of what was going to happen from the destruction of Jerusalem by King Nebuchadnezzar. And he is here concerned for those that need to fly and run from Antichrist and to face the tribulation period concerning the children. Our God is an awesome God, and he says, suffer or allow the little children to come to me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And so his concerns and his warnings, both in the book of Jeremiah and here in the book of Matthew. Now, I'd like to go ahead and take you to how we're to respond to a present evil world and how we are to face the things that are coming, and that is through prayer, always through prayer. And I'd like to show you in the New Testament, let's go to 1 Timothy in the New Testament, First Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. And here, this is the beginning of what's known as the pastoral epistles. I mean, letters written to pastors on how to act in the church and, of course, for all people. And it says here that the first thing to be concerned about is your prayer life. That's what God is mostly interested with. Because at the very beginning of the pastoral epistles, Timothy and 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, he says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, which is humble, earnest requests to God, prayers, intercessions, and intercession is praying for other people. That's what intercession is. And giving of thanks, that actually we're involved in prayer when we're singing praise songs at the beginning of the service, because that is a stance of praise, and that's prayer. And maybe that's one of the highest forms of prayer, is to praise God. That's why our music is so important to us, and just lifting our voices in praise to God. But these things, these intercessions, supplications, and prayers and thanks be made for all men on the planet, because God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. We should pray for everyone to get saved. I used to pray that when I was growing up in my prayers. I'd say the Lord's Prayer first and then say, and God save the whole world. And I know, we know from experience and from other things in the Bible that's really not going to happen, because people reject the prayers. They reject the Lord. Pastor Jose was just talking to me last night. He came in from sharing the gospel over here at the supermarket across the street. And he had a hard time this day because he ran into a couple of brothers that were just so negative and so pushy and just made him feel oppressed. And so he saw Sherry and I leaving the church and locking up, and he pulled his truck in. He said, can you guys pray for me and my truck? Could you anoint my truck with oil and anoint me with oil? Because he gave one of those guys a ride home, and he was just totally closed. I don't want to hear it. Just don't speak to me about Jesus. Just give me a ride home, you know? And he just felt kind of defeated over all that. And so we got to pray with him and stuff, and he felt better. You know, you saw him this morning. He's ready to preach the gospel here where people are ready to listen to him. And that's a great thing. But these kinds of feelings will come to us often here on this planet, because people are in a rejecting mode. They just don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear about the Lord and the beauty of God and the gentleness of his spirit. And so we're to pray. We are to pray. For kings, President Trump and all of the governors, the mayors, our mayor and here in Anaheim is a Christian. We can pray that God would continue to lead him and give him courage to stand up for the Lord. For kings, for all that are in authority, for this reason, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. It's God's will for us to live a quiet and peaceable life. He doesn't want our kids laying in fields dead with nobody to bury them. That's not God's desire. And he says, pray. First of all, pray. That's where the real battle is fought. when we bind Satan in Jesus' name and pray that God's Spirit would be loose, for whatever you bind in heaven shall be bound on earth. Whatever you loose in heaven will be loosed on earth. And so we bind Satan in heaven, and Satan's bound here on earth. And we loose the Holy Spirit by saying, God, take my life, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And then his Holy Spirit is loosed on earth, and we find a quiet and peaceable life. You know, I think of the schools as an example of this, is that in 1963, the government decided to forbid prayer to be made publicly in school anymore. And since then, we have gone downhill and gone south unbelievably in our schools. First, the drugs came in. I remember when I was a senior in high school and one guy in the class was caught smoking pot, and the whole class was shocked. What are you doing smoking marijuana? That's a reefer, man. That's not good for you. That was the reaction of my whole class towards this one guy. But now, you know how it is. It's gone crazy. And that's happened since 1963, when God was asked to leave. God, would you please leave our schools? And man, he sure did. Ugh. And then the violence began. After the drugs moved in, the violence began. And now it's getting to a point with all these shootings. It's just amazingly bad. And people wonder what's wrong. Well, you should have left God in the school is what you should have done. Duh. You know, you'd think they'd see that. I get angry, and I know you do too. We don't want to go there today. Want to enjoy the word. That is the way it is. And this is the way it is with children as well as adults. And children have horrible things to face when the Lord is dismissed and asked to go. And we see that in our school system. Now, I want to get to the subject of release time education, which is the trailers that you've seen through your lifetime parked in front of schools. And at noontime, they bring permission slips. The release time staff brings permission slips to the principals of the school. This has been approved by the school boards in Anaheim since 1943. Yeah, this deal in Anaheim is older than me. It's in 1943 is when it began. And so to make a long story short, this week I just got some bad news from the brother that's in charge of the release time education of the schools up there in Placentia and Yorba Linda. That's his territory. He's got 21 trailers. Now, in the beginning, Anaheim had 40 trailers, 40. But now Anaheim is down to 20 trailers. So that's kind of hard. But Anaheim was the forerunner, was the example to the other communities to have this program. So now Orange has this program. Costa Mesa has this program. Down in Costa Mesa, there's 3 full-time paid positions to actually take care of that. So they have lots of resources down there out of Costa Mesa, Calvary Costa Mesa. And Costa Mesa is ripping with these trailers. And so is Orange, and so is Placentia, and what's the name of that city again? I always forget Yorba Linda. It's such a weird name. Anyway, I shouldn't say that too loud. But Anaheim has come to a place where they're about ready to give up on this ministry. And it was heartbreaking to hear about this. This brother came to me from the other towns and said, bro, he says, we have to do something about Anaheim because it looks like they might fold and have to sell all the trailers to Mexico and just quit. And I said, no. I mean, my spirit just went, no. No way. We can't just throw in the towel? We can't. And so anyway, we've been communicating through the week, and this brother had set up an appointment to meet with the leadership of Anaheim to talk about it. It's coming up on Friday. He doesn't know the time yet, but he said he would be really blessed if I could come with him and see what we can do. Now, the leadership is getting tired. They've been in the position for 20 years, and the husband in that group, in that duo, is Roger and Candy, but Roger's 80 years old. I mean, it's getting kind of late in life for him, and so, you know, there's a strong battle there going on, and so they might need a rest. I don't know, but my other brother, Brother Ron's his name, he's thinking maybe, you know, we can persuade them to stay and train somebody or something, but let's see what we can do, you know? And so this has been really on my heart. I mean, I've been burdened with this. You know that Louie's wife, Cheryl, was saved in one of those trailers? Right here in Anaheim. Yeah, she was saved. And one of our elders, Mike Scoggins, who has gone to Idaho now, but he also got saved in one of those trailers. And we've had people here in our church that have taught in those trailers through the years. Rianne, who teaches Sunday school here, taught in one of those trailers for years. And so many others. But what I'm presenting this to you today about is, you know, we want to keep our kids, don't we? Oh, don't we? And we see these strong scriptures today about where kids can end up without the Lord. So I would covet your prayers, especially for this week, that you would remember to pray for the Release Time Ministry, that God will save it and do it His way, because only God can come up with a plan. And I'm not even sure what they need yet. You know, Pastor Bob up at Calvary East Anaheim wrote a check for $5,000 and gave it to Ron to take to this meeting on Friday. And so I'm sure that will help. But man, this is a big, big organization. I mean, you're thinking about 20 trailers, and you got to fix the trailers when they break. And then you have to pay drivers to drive them. Not everybody can drive a big old long trailer. And then you have to have maintenance, you know, on them and so forth. So it's really expensive to do this. Our church has been giving money to Release Time here in Anaheim for years and years and years. Every month we send them a check. But, you know, they're just, I guess, running out of some money. And also, I don't know what the needs are. I have to bring it back to you later. But first of all, we pray. Amen? First of all, we pray. So I would like to lead you in prayer right now about the Release Time Ministry and the salvation that God can bring. And then also ask you through the week to just remember, please remember, say, God bless this food. And Lord, bless Release Time Education and keep it in Anaheim. If you could pray that. There's so much power in prayer. There's a lot of power represented right here. Yeah. I look out at your faces, man. You got the gusto. You have got it. You know, because you've got Jesus. And you can just have a Holy Ghost prayer meeting. Oh, yeah. Start pacing around and saying, Lord, I am grabbing the horns of the altar. And I'm coming after you to save this precious, precious thing that our kids can get. And many will not get it anywhere else. They have non-Christian families, but they come to the trailer and get saved. And they bring their parents. We've had this happen many times through the years. The kids get saved in the trailer, and they bring mom and dad to church. Yeah, that has happened so many times. Well, let's pray. Let's pray. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be together with the body of Christ, to seek your face for deliverance, Lord. We pray for deliverance, Father, from any obstacles that are in the way of keeping the trailer ministry going in Anaheim. Lord, we pray that they'd become a leader again and an example to the other communities, Lord, to encourage them and bolster them up and to keep going in you. Father, we pray that the trailer number would go back up to 40 like it was, and we'd be able to go to many more schools. And Lord, be waiting there for the hungry little souls. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, please, Lord, please, whatever you have to do, Lord. And Lord, we are here to do what you will call us to do, Lord. We're ready to say that. Lord, what did Isaiah said? Say, here am I, send me. And so, Lord, we want to be in that attitude. Lord, this is a vexation of soul to hear that this thing might end. So, God, help us now. Lord, encourage us and encourage the dear leadership. Lord, we know that Candy and Roger have put so much into this for 20 years, their whole lives pouring out themselves for this ministry. And Lord, we pray, Father, for the board. We know that many in our church have been on the board serving under them through the years. And Father, we pray that you would give them new vision, new hope, that your Holy Spirit would bust through the gates of hell, and we would bind anything and everything that would come against this ministry in Jesus' name. And Lord, we claim that promise that whatever we bind in heaven will be bound on earth. And Lord, we want to loose the Holy Spirit, the sweet, lovely, flowing Holy Spirit, to come and minister to Roger and Candy and all of us. Lord, with great knowledge and wisdom, you say, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask, and you will give it liberally, to know our part, what we can do, Lord, what we can do, Father. And we just are so thankful for this ministry, Father. Save many, many people, Lord, you will save, even through the years to come. So thank you, Father. We are beseeching you. We are praying to you. We are grabbing the horns of the altar. And thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everyone said together, amen, amen. Amen. So please keep praying, and let's see what God will do. Well, let's go back to Jeremiah then and take a look here at chapter 16, starting at verse 5. And it goes on here about some heavy things, but it's so neat that at verses 14 and 15 in the chapter, God brings tremendous promises. He never brings the judgment without the knowledge of salvation following it and his ability to bring back that which appeared to be lost, and it's so great. So let's just go ahead and read verse 5. It says, "For thus says the Lord, enter not into the house of mourning, neither go to lament nor bemoan them. For I have taken away my peace from this people, says the Lord, even loving kindness and mercies. Both the great and the small shall die in this land. They shall not be buried, neither shall men lament for them, nor cut themselves, nor make themselves bald for them." Now, these are just talking about customs that they had in burials. And of course, they would cut themselves for the idols. You remember when Elijah fought the 450 prophets of Baal, that the worshipers of Baal actually cut themselves at one point to try to please their false god. And, you know, even today, you've probably heard of cutting among some teenagers, and it's just the most terrible thing. To get into that. But anyway, there are also, though, customs that they had for when people died. They would shave their heads after 30 days for a dead person in the family. So, but this won't be happening. That won't be happening because they're not able to minister to the dead. Neither shall men tear themselves for them in mourning. Now, in the Jewish community, if you wailed really loud for a dead person in your family, that's a good thing, and the louder you wail, the better. So they would actually hire professional wailers at funerals to really make the wailing big. And that's kind of, you know, something we probably wouldn't get into at all, but they did. But it says, neither shall men tear themselves or be in wailing states themselves for them in mourning, or even to comfort them for the dead. Neither shall men give them the cup of consolation to drink for their father or even their mother. You shall not also go into the house of feasting to sit with them that eat and drink. There'll be no feasting. You know, sometimes at our funerals afterwards, there's a big feast for everybody. You have a big lunch together. Well, that won't happen because everybody's just going to be left in the fields to just become fertilizer because of what Nebuchadnezzar's going to do here. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will cause to cease out of this place in your eyes and in your days the voice of mirth. There'll be no more joy, and the voice of gladness, and the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride. There'll be no weddings. And it shall come to pass, when you shall show this people all these words, that they shall say to you, why? Why has the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? What did we do? Or what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Then shall you say to them, because your fathers have forsaken me, says the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law. And then the Lord says to them, and you have done worse than your fathers. Your fathers were really bad, but you guys are worse. And gee, these guys must have been just super bad. For behold, you walk everyone after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not listen to me. And like I just shared about Pastor Jose, these two guys didn't want to listen to him one bit. So much so that he was oppressed. He felt just vexed. Therefore will I cast you out of this land into a land that you don't know, neither you nor your fathers, and there you shall serve other gods day and night. Now they had incorporated the worship of Molech and other false gods that came from Babylon in their adultery against the Lord. And so God now is just simply removing them to the land where they worship those gods so that they can be free now to worship them day and night. God gave them over, just like it says in Romans chapter 1, that if people just push and rebel and rebel and push, God finally gives them over to do what they want to do, and then they have to reap what that brings. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You can reap to the flesh and receive destruction, or reap to the spirit and receive life everlasting. And you and I, we've chosen life everlasting. Amen? And here you are, you sweet people, sitting in your places. And you know, I notice that pretty much you sit in the same place every week or close. I know exactly where you are. And I'm watching you. So, oh man. Now, so the Lord says, you know, I will cast you out of this land into a land that you know not, neither your fathers. And there you shall serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. Now, God figures right now, and it's just in time. That's enough of that. Let's get to the hope, because he's a God of hope. I remember in our first apartment, Sherry made a collage. Yes, she did. It was beautiful. And there were bikers on the collage. And different folks doing different things. And it was just a bunch of people on the collage. It was green and white. And then she put on the bottom, Jesus Christ, the hope of the hopeless. Glory to God. We are without hope, without him. Without him, we're reprobate. But with him, we are sanctified. We are precious. We are beautiful in his sight. And we're the apple of his eye. And he's the bishop of our souls and the lover of our souls. These are all scriptures, and this is awesome. And so God says in verse 14 and 15, the most beautiful promise he gives to these people that are going to be washed away, actually. It says, therefore, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord lives. The Lord lives that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Now they rejoiced in that from the time it happened. God opened the Red Sea. They walked through on dry land. And they always said, the Lord lives because he brought us up out of the land of Egypt. But they'll change from that because now they're going to Babylon. They were in bondage to Egypt, and they used to praise God that God delivered them from Egypt. But they'll be saying one day, God delivered us from Babylon. Praise God. But they will be saying, verse 15, the Lord lives that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north, where Babylon would attack from. And this takes us to the future. From all the lands, all the nations, where he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Now, at 536 BC, those in Babylon returned that were still alive, and 50,000 people came home to Judah. But they continued to have problems. And when Jesus showed up, they as a nation rejected him and put him on a cross. So in 70 AD, God allowed the captivity again when he brought in Rome under Titus of Rome. And they were spread and dispersed throughout the whole world to other lands. And that's why I think this scripture reaches further than being returned to Babylon. Because it says, and from all the lands where they had been driven. And God is fulfilling that in our day. And it is so great to see, is it not? In the 1900s, well, really 18-something, right at the end, just before 1900, Ben Yehuda decided that he would teach his little girls Hebrew that had not been spoken out loud for almost 2,000 years. Because 70 AD and then really 73 AD is when Jerusalem met its Waterloo, and they were dispersed throughout the world. They began to, the Zionist movement to bring the Jews home began around 1900. And Ben Yehuda said, we're just going to speak Hebrew in our house. And he created the whole Hebrew language afresh and anew. And now today, Hebrew is the national language of Israel. And it is such a precious thing to hear them talking. All their and the, you know, all of that stuff, man. You just go, yeah, we're back. It's lovely. And we know 1948, they became a nation. 1967, they reconquered Jerusalem. Yeah, boy. And when the Russians attacked with their tanks from Syria in 1973, God stopped them. And God caused Israel to win. You think these guys would get tired of losing. You know what I'm saying? But not so. They keep coming. They're so prideful. It's like the devil. You know, the devil knows he's going to hell someday. But still he persists. You go, what is wrong with this guy? He knows where he's going. Well, it's pride. Pride is stinking. And he's got this huge pride, and he's going to take as many as he can to hell with him. And that's what we're fighting against. That's what we're fighting against. To bring the love of God to these poor people that are totally in bondage to sin and Satan. In Jesus' name. And to get our trailers out in front of their schools so we can take their kids to heaven with us and get some parents on the way too. Hallelujah. praise the Lord. And so, yes, we need to read on now. For it says here in, from all the places I have driven them. With that, let's go ahead and turn to Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. And we will be singing a song about this at the end of the service. But God gives Ezekiel, remember now, Ezekiel's contemporary with Jeremiah. Jeremiah's preaching in Jerusalem. Ezekiel is preaching in Babylon. And here Ezekiel is given a vision of bones. And it's kind of a scary vision at first. But it says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley that was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. So if you picture dry bones, like in the desert, you know, you find a dead cow bones just there, or a skull, but these are human bones here. And a very scary place to be. And there were a lot of them, very many, it says, in the open valley, and they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, you know. I can't say well, yea or no. I can't make these bones live. But hey, you know, Lord. And again he said to me, Prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O dry bones. The dry bones. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, and I was as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. You know, I think about this situation, and I think about the movie, the one about the Argonauts, Jason and the Argonauts. Do you remember that movie? It was a movie that bones came together and made an army. And they had swords, and they fought with the humans, and when they would hit them, they would fall apart, the bones. And I imagine the guy that wrote that was thinking about the Bible, because here it is. And then the end reminds me of the song, you know, the shin bone connected to the thigh bone. Does anybody remember that song? It says, the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, and lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, and he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. This is what he's talking about. That Israel would be back, and they'd be back strong. Let's look at verse 21. Say unto them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, where they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them to their own land. So this is what the vision of the dry bones was. That man, God did a number on them in the fields during the time of Babylon. But God's going to bring Israel back and bring them back beautifully. And he has been doing that, hasn't he? He's been working. We went and visited Calvary Chapel, Jerusalem when we went to Israel. And it was full of Russian Jews that had come home to Israel. And they put them to work in the back room, making little pictures, little tiny pictures. And they sold them for $5 a piece to get money for these immigrants, they're refugees, they had no employment. And then in the city, we saw a Russian Jewish person, and he was actually playing a Stradivarius violin like you wouldn't believe. This guy must have been in the Bolshevik Philharmonic or whatever, because he was, I mean, he was going for it. And he had a little hat out there to collect money because he was a Russian Jew come home. And God is bringing the Russians back, and he's bringing the Argentinians back, the Jews in Argentina. And at one point, I read an article that there was 1,000 Jews a day leaving Argentina to come home to Israel. And it showed a picture of a plane, and inside the plane with all these little hats and the Jews waving at you, you know, we're going home, you know. And from Egypt and all over the world, and God is doing this right now, and it is a blessed thing. Well, let's go back to Jeremiah and just read the rest of the scriptures here, because God gives his whole plan and lays it out in so many words, and I want to show you one more scripture in Ezekiel. So here he says, behold, I will send for many fishers, verse 16, says the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after I will send many hunters, and they shall hunt them. On every mountain and from every hill and out of the holes of the rocks. For my eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from my eyes. You can't hide anything from the Lord. Whatever you do in secret will be shouted from the rooftops. And if you're a Christian, you will get caught. Absolutely, 100%, you will get caught at whatever you're doing wrong. And it says, I'm going to fish them out of the holes. And I see their iniquity. And so this is his plan. And first, I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double. And that's what's happening with Jeremiah and the prophetic word there. Because they have defiled my land, they have filled my land and my inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things, which a modern translation says idols. That's what they were into, idol worship. O Lord, my strength, cries Jeremiah, and my fortress and my refuge or hiding place in the day of affliction that's coming. This will be the result. The Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity or nothingness, and things wherein there is no profit. Shall a man make gods unto himself, and they are no gods? They're really not gods at all, but lies and vanities. And so the Bible is just saying here, the Lord's working to bring all the nations in the world to this revelation, that all of the things that they're involved with is baloney, baloney, salami. Can you say that with me? Baloney, baloney, salami. I love that line. Therefore, behold, I will this one cause them to know. I will cause them to know my hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. And that's in capitals in my Bible, and I hope it is in yours too. He's the Lord. There is none other. And so this is his goal. This is God's goal, is to present himself and his anointed as the Lord of all. In the end, every single knee on the whole earth will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of the Father. That is what's going to happen. Now, you and I, we have done this early, haven't we? We've bowed our knee to him. And we've confessed Jesus with our tongue. And it's so great to have him on our side, is it not? When I used to chase my boys around the house, I put my t-shirt over my head and my face ugly. I can really make my face ugly. It gets easier and easier as I get older and older. And I would chase them around the house. And they were scared. But they loved it, the three older ones. Jeremiah did not like it. And so he would stand in the corner and say, Dad, I'm on your side. And that is the way it is with us with the Lord. Amen. We have bowed the knee. We have confessed with the tongue. He's the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. Let's say Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Nobody can say that without the Holy Ghost. You say that, you mean it. You've got the Holy Spirit inside you. And you're on His side. And He is definitely on your side. If anyone comes to me, there's no way I will cast him out. But for these others, they have to learn. And so God is in the teaching mode. First, I will recompense their iniquity. And then the nations will come and say, you're the Lord. And Israel will know that their Lord has returned for them. So there it is, brothers and sisters. And let's pray. Let's just go to prayer now. So, Father, we thank you, Lord. We see these things almost every day, these battles that rage in the spiritual realm. And, Lord, you say whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Father, bind away this opposition to the trailers in Anaheim, Lord. We pray that you would bind the spiritual works that are trying to expel a wonderful ministry in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray that you would bind any forces in our own personal lives that are coming against us, trying to bring us down, trying to just get us to give up. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would bind those things and that you would loose the power of your sweet Holy Spirit to just be loose in our lives and abounding in our lives and abounding towards everything that's good, everything that's lovely. And Lord God, that you would touch your people with peace. And we thank you, Father. You truly are the Lord, and we recognize you as that. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.